Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 20, Mizmor Kaf. Psalm 20 divides neatly into two sections. And the first section focuses on a group of people who are encouraging the leader, the king perhaps, that God will answer his call and save them on this day, a day of distress. The people speak directly to the individual and say, "We are with you, and in God's name we will be victorious." The second section has the response of the king, confident in God and his nation. The first section reads, L'menatzeach Mizmor LeDavid, a classic introduction, and then says the following successive psukim, Yancha Adonai b'yom tzara, yisagev Hashem Elohe Yaakov, yishlach et shulcha mikodesh, umitzion yisadeka, yizkor kol minchotecha, ve'olatcha yidash nesela, yiten lecha kilvavecha, v'chol atzatcha yimalei. They say to the king, "May the Lord hear you in this day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the temple and strengthen you from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and sacrifices and accept with favor your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans." The conclusion of this section is, Niranana bishuatecha, Uvishem Eloheinu Nidgol, Yimale Adonai Kol Mishalotecha. May we rejoice in your salvation and the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. God will answer you. God will strengthen you. He will send help. He will support you. Remember your actions, grant your wishes, and fulfill your desires. Psalm 20 begins with a flurry of blessings for the king on behalf of the nation before his impending departure. The people attempt to convince the leader that he will be protected and saved, to give him confidence in order that he can ride into the battle, be a role model for his army, and lead them to victory. Verse 2 introduces the idea, stating that the day is a Yom Tzara, a day of crisis or trouble. God answers on this day. The next three verses explain why the king and his nation will be worthy of salvation. Now, each verse has a chiastic structure, meaning it starts with one idea, continues the second idea, and then in the second half, it's a mirror image. It continues the second idea and goes back to a parallel of the first one. A little complicated, but here is how it is in words. It starts by saying, God will send help, that's A, and then B is from Kodesh, from the temple, and then he continues in the second half saying, B, from Zion, from Zion, he will help A. So A, B, B, A. And then it goes to the next level. He will remember, Yizkor, and then that's A, your offerings and your sacrifices, B, B, and he will receive them, that's back to A. And finally, the third section, he will bestow Yitain, your heart's desire and all your plans, that's BB, and then it says he will fulfill like he will bestow. A, B, B, A. Now the first verse describes the source of the help. It comes from Zion, it comes from Kodesh. The second verse explains why the king is worthy of this help, your offerings, because he offered the sacrifices properly. And the final verse verifies that the help will be received and the enemy will be defeated. Thus, the bees in the middle represent the repeated message of encouragement that the source, the reason, and the plan of the king's battle will be met with God's approval. The king, the leader, or perhaps even the farmer and the mother or whomever, all begin their day with a spiritual boost of offerings, prayer, and meditation. Upon completing this personal spiritual experience, they each fill the roles they have carved out for themselves. In ancient times, the king, the warrior, goes out into physical battle, and he needed the people to support him, to remind him that salvation comes from God, and to impress upon him that God and the focus of the temple are the source of his success and his ventures. The king's participation in the temple rites, his offerings, gifts, and sacrifices to God, give him the confidence that will enable him to defeat his enemies and save the nation. And the same message could be learned by other members in society, and perhaps for this reason, the psalm was recited in the temple and even at the gates of Jerusalem as the king was on his way to battle. Amos Chacham notes that many of the words used in this psalm, which represent the call to God and his answer, are found in our daily tefillah. And of course, the psalm itself is found in our morning tefillah in the end of by Ashrei. Yancha, the first words of Yom Tzara, we recite during Slichot. We say these similar ideas that it's a day that God should answer us on a day of Tzara. And Elohei Yaakov, we reminds us of the prayer Misha Ana Li Yaakov, God who answered God Jacob during his time of trouble, he will answer our prayers. And Yishlach Ezrecha Mitzion reminds us of Aseh Leman Yerushalayim, Aseh Leman Tzion Mishkan Kvodecha. Now the framing of this psalm as not as one where the individual, David, calls out to God and conducts his personal dialogue, or sometimes monologue, with God, but rather as the first five psukim show that it's about the people speaking to the king. That strengthens the resolve of the king and prepares him for the next step. It's an unusual psalm this way, because usually David, the author, the psalmist, calls out and it's very subjective. It's me, 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 me. But here, I think it's done very intentionally to drive home the point that the king must realize that it's not about me, that the nature of the psalm is about them in the first five psukim, and only him in the as a conclusion comes to talk. Verse 6, we will rejoice in your salvation, assemble in the name of God, and the Lord will fulfill your request. They're a fitting conclusion to the people's call. They rally in God's salvation and make sure the king understands that it is not solely due to the merits and the actions of the king that salvation comes, but rather Yeshua Techa is about understanding that it's God's salvation. The nation assures the king that because of his service to God and his recognizing that salvation comes from Zion, and perhaps because of the king's humility, for those reasons, God will bring him victory. This sets the stage for the all-important second half of the psalm, in which the king responds, "Ata yadati ki Yoshia Adonai Mashicho, Yaneu Mishmei Kodesho, Bigvurot Yesha Yimino." Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from the holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Eile varecha ve'eile vasusim v'anachnu b'shem Adonai Elenu Nazkir. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fall, but we shall rise. God save. The king will answer us on the day when we call. Now this phrase, Ata Yadati, it's a very powerful one, and it's quite interesting in our psalm. If the rest of the verse said, now I know that God will save, then we're in a bit of a strange situation where the king, the anointed one from God, doesn't believe that God saves. What about this event then changes his mind that all of a sudden God will save the people? Rather, that's not what the psalm says. It says, Ata yadati ki Yoshia Hashem Mishicho. The king correctly adds himself into the equation. Now I know that God saves his anointed one, me, or perhaps through his anointed one, that God saves his nation. Meaning, the king had faith in God and faith in his nation, but only when they show him that through his actions in the temple and in front of the nation, they will support him and indeed ride with him into battle, does he finally feel the electric bond between God, king, and nation. Each one represents an unflappable part of that triangle of the hachut hamishulash lo b'mehira yinatek. It doesn't break apart. The now I see, the ataya dati, and I understand that as long as I do not speak solely as an individual, but rather va'nachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir and va'nachnu kamnu v'netodan, we and we, when the king says we, then truly God will save us. The psalm concludes as it began with the words of the anonymous multitudes who confidently call out to God's salvation and say that our king will truly answer us. In this way, says Amos Chacham, the psalm closes with the same words with which it began. It starts with Yancha Hashem, may God answer you, and it ends with Ya'anenu, God indeed will. The song is meant to reinforce the king's feelings that he truly has the nation behind him and God in front of him as he goes into battle. Sandwiched between God and the nation, he's infused with trust and a victorious air. He will be victorious precisely when he never utters the word I, but instead firmly believes in the fundamental tripartite system, which is the recipe for success in the battlefield, and by extension, in all areas when one combats a day of distress.